Welcome to another episode of The Master's Playground. I am your host, Chrissy Stereo, and tonight we welcome the amazing, the talented, the professional psychic and clairvoyant, Chris Cahill. Welcome to the playground, Chris.
Why, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much, Christine.
I'm so excited that you're here. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for joining us. So I want to take the opportunity in this show to really get to know Chris Cahill. I mean, I've known you for about a year and change now.
Yeah.
Roughly.
A little bit.
You know, and it's usually has been either in a professional, you know, a growing friendship kind of way.
Yeah.
So now I'm really curious and I want to take our audience into just getting to know a side of Chris that perhaps they haven't been exposed to with your show and so forth and so on.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So let's start by highlighting who you are and let's go with present day right now. Let's talk about a little bit about you have your own show here, things of that nature. So a little intro.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I have a show called Psychic Every Day. It's on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock at Skidrow Studios. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing it for a little over a year. Mm-hmm. And the way I got into it was through a friend, Vic, who's got a show here too. You know, it's a fair question. Uh-huh. But Vic invited me, you know, knowing I'm a psychic. I've been one now. I've been a professional psychic for about 14 years now.
Wow.
Trained as a clairvoyant. And that's what I do full time. I'm also a lifelong artist. So in present time, I'm actually working the picture now that as a psychic, I'm also working as an artist. I have been for, you know,
congratulations
I've seen this
on that.
For
that's
a long time.
Excellent photo. Yeah.
I love that one. Yeah. It's a good picture. And what I see, and I've really been, you know, saying this more in my show too, is that everybody is an artist. Every single human being, I've always thought that. Each of us is a creator, and I've always seen it, and not everyone can validate that. And so as a psychic, as a clairvoyant, I'm teaching people, saying hello to their spirit, but also teaching them that they have a very powerful spirit. And if they are going to go on and create their lives, they have to see themselves as the artist of their own lives.
That's beautiful.
So that's what I do.
That's beautiful. So let's go back in time a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll let you lead there.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
Well, let's go back to where you're from. I have some questions that I wrote down just so I wouldn't forget. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up and where you grew up.
I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago mm-hmm. a long time ago. Not going to go there. A long time ago. But I grew up on the south side of Chicago and I went to Catholic school. I grew up in an Irish Catholic neighborhood. I'm from like that kind of clannish Irish neighborhood kind of thing. But I never really felt like I belonged. Mm-hmm. I was always an artist. My family has a lot of permission for creativity. Mm-hmm. And so we were always making stuff.
Great, actually.
It was really good.
Yeah, that's a really good outlet.
Yeah, it's really funny because we were doing things like gluing noodles on paper plates. And my mother would make dough out of, or Play-Doh out of flour and water. And we'd Aww. Make sculptures. And she's an artist, too.
That's lovely.
And it was just very helpful to have that. My parents are both creative. So mm-hmm. I grew up, you know, going to school and always taking art lessons and always making things. Mm-hmm. And that really gave me permission to have a creative way of thinking, being, seeing.
Excellent.
Nobody was pushing me to go be a banker.
Right.
And if they had, it wouldn't have worked on me.
Right.
You know, my brother, you know, is the one who did more stuff like that. But
you're the eldest?
And the oldest of six.
Yeah. So you had to take it all on. You know, I find that the older energy is sort of the, I'm going to go through it for everyone kind of energy.
I got over it.
Yeah, that's
Until
good.
I started rebelling.
Good.
And I told you a little bit about that, but it was the rebelling from the creativity and from music and things like that.
Uh-huh. I want to dive a little bit into your rebellion. It's probably one of my favorite periods that you have expressed yourself within based on the stories that you've shared. And You know, with each guest that I welcome onto the Master's Playground, I like to introduce people into getting to know the guest from a kaleidoscope perspective. Not only who, where they're at now, where they come from, but what, you know, what kind of music they're, you know, really speaks to their soul. So I'm going to cut to a song.
All right,
you know,
good.
Quick one. And I actually am surprising you with a variety of song music.
Fantastic.
I'm
excited.
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't start bawling.
You know what? Let's just start rocking out. We're gonna start with the Buzzcocks.
Oh, excellent.
And
perfect.
We're gonna go with Boredom.
Yeah. That was yes.
Yeah. Right on. I wanted to take people into how Chris got down in Chicago.
That was a song. I must have danced that song more times than I can even count. And I saw the Buzzcocks live a couple of times.
I'm really envious of the concerts that you actually caught when you know.
I'm older than you, so I caught a lot of...
A hair or two. You know.
Who's
whatever.
Counting?
Yeah, whatever, man. It's all a party. You know,
exactly.
It's all good. So
that was a great choice. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I've got a small lineup for us, but
wonderful.
You know, so the Rebellion years.
Rebellion.
Yeah. So here, okay. So let's look at your abilities around this time frame and the rebellion that you're going through, things of that nature, and take us into that experience. What was it like for you?
I rebelled creatively. I went to art school. So my rebellion happened, you know, around the time I had to do it quietly until I was about 18. And the way I did it was by starting to ask a lot of questions. I'm a Sagittarius, so I have a big mouth. I'll get in someone's face.
She said with a microphone in front of her face.
I love it. Yeah. Uh-huh. But I'll get in some, I've learned how to temper it since then. But I will get in someone's face because I just hate being lied to. And I would call people out on things. And to me, the rebellion was a lot about that. But then it became more creative.
Right.
More interesting. I was never interested in rebellion for rebellion's sake. It was all about breaking through or getting out of feeling constricted or controlled or held back.
Yeah, truth seems to resonate in my head, getting to the truth of it.
Getting
things.
To the truth of it.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing as I matured that actually the way I saw it truthfully was not going to be the same way that other people did.
Right.
But at the time, it was more about breaking free.
Right.
So punk rock was perfectly timed for me.
Excellent.
I mocked it up really well.
Right. So tell us a little bit about how you were handling your abilities at that point, as far as psychic abilities.
Unconsciously.
Yes.
Had no clue. Mm-hmm. But what I did know I was doing was I was healing people, and I didn't know how to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was starting to be the one who people would call or find or get healing from.
The go-to friend.
And then I would feel lousy. And it wasn't with everyone. I mean, because I had other friends who did that too.
Mm-hmm.
But in my early 20s, I was completely unconscious of it.
I
was kind of anti-spirit too for a long time.
Anti-spirit, what do you mean by that?
Well, I was running away from the Catholic Church as fast as I could since I was in fourth grade.
And
I just didn't want to have anything to do with religion or with anything like this. And then, but I started getting really interested in psychic and astrology. I was interested in that since I was 12.
Sure.
Finding, astrology magazines. That was what I could find at the drugstore.
The tools.
You know, information. I just wanted to know more. There wasn't an internet. You know, I couldn't. So for me, getting more conscious meant starting to say hello to my own spirit.
Right.
But that also came out of being an artist.
Right. So
creativity.
Unconscious. You know, I could relate with that a little bit. When we're younger and we have these natural healing abilities, if you will, I remember for me, what I would do is actually go and try to help people a little too much.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to having them seek me out, although I'll be at the corner at the party, you know, healing everybody, you know, over a cocktail or whatever, you know, but
exactly.
In general, seeking people out because I would feel their pain, you know, which then messed me up and, you know, threw me into a ditch, you know, energetically.
Yes, so I did. You and I did very similar things.
Yeah, yeah.
In similar ways. And also I would find I attracted a lot of people who were in pain. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that. I just knew that I felt responsible. And I always thought that I could heal them.
Right.
I could do something to help them feel better. I felt guilty because I wasn't in pain. I always had, a hugely optimistic way of looking at life.
Which is great. Yeah.
Which is helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're going to take on everyone's pain.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope you're optimistic.
Right. Now, for me, it was like, oh, man, I totally can relate. Hold on. And I would wipe my eyes. I'm like, oh, my God. I feel you, man. I really do.
Yeah. I really feel you.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Right. You went another shot.
I'm gonna go
what do you want?
My wrist
you know.
Out.
Yeah.
I know it's really hard because I've learned since. I mean, I know I don't want to shoot ahead too much, but just that I can't.
Right.
It's not my job.
Right. So, all right. So you start your reconnecting with your spirit in essence. And as you did so, there's a variety of art that comes out of you. You know, you go off to art school, I believe.
I was already out of art school by the time that happened.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah. So, I finished art school in my early 20s, and I didn't really start reconnecting with my spirit till in my later 20s.
Right. I can feel you. Yeah. So, all right. So let's keep moving forward a little bit with you reconnecting with your spirit. So the psychic touch, when did you know? What was the moment for you that you proclaimed, you took that flag and said, I am going to incorporate this talent into my expression?
Again, it was not a conscious declaration like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about I was learning. I knew I needed new tools, and I went to a school in Chicago that I've talked about many times called mm-hmm. Envision, which is a brilliant school.
Sure.
And I went there to take a psychic meditation class. I went there to learn how to ground. I went mm-hmm. there and got a reading, a student reading, the clairvoyant training, the student reading. It blew me away, and I'd had professional readings before, and no one tried to predict my future.
Uh-huh.
No one tried to tell me anything about what I should do
mm-hmm.
or say anything that annoyed me in any way.
Wow.
And it was actually more of a hello. It was a hello to my spirit. And I went, ooh. And I was just like on fire about it. Going,
that's beautiful.
Ooh, you know, this is really cool. And it was
that's beautiful. Yeah.
And then one of the women who was there, who was the teacher of this particular group, said, you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, I don't know. And she goes, oh, yeah. You're a clairvoyant. You can do that.
Wow. That's
beautiful.
And
the way she said it, she was just reading me. And I was like,
uh-huh.
And I went and took this class. And then I was in the clairvoyant training, which was a very intensive year-long training. And then I just knew halfway through that training, I'm going to teach this. I'm going to do this. This mm-hmm. is what I want.
Now, I find that whenever we, you know, and correct me if, you know, or you know, highlight if your experience was very similar. When we start to work with our spirit, there's a lot of garbage that we're cleaning out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of, I guess you could say, healing ourselves that occurs. So during your training, your experience of really honing in on your spirit and really reclaiming it, how did you handle all of the stuff that would come up? How did you fare, basically? How did you do, you know, through that rather intense process?
Okay, and you could ask me, how do I 15 years later still handle the garbage?
Yeah, it never ends. Exactly.
Because
right?
It doesn't ever end. You
Correct.
Just get better at realizing that's not me. Mm-hmm. But actually, I'll tell you what really helps more than anything when you're growing and you're working on your spirit and healing yourself. This is like the most important thing. Amusement.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
And that was a big part of the training I was in, because it would get really freaking serious too. People mm-hmm. would be, there'd be like people sometimes just breaking down, bawling in class.
Which is perfect.
And when I became a clairvoyant teacher, I realized, yeah, I get it. Like, I understand why you're crying, but I'm still not going to fix it. Mm-hmm. It's not my job. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't mean. It wasn't like an awful thing. It was just someone would be hitting something.
Right.
And it would be, and then they'd let it go. And then they'd be sitting there smiling, going, all better.
Yeah. I call it the bliss at the end of the
like
chaos.
Getting
yeah.
it out of your space. You just have to. And exactly. when you're dealing with junk, I mean, look at how much pain we take on.
I know.
How many lies, like how much, you know, and it, not to make any of us a victim, or we each came here for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to deal with that stuff.
How exciting,
to grow.
The times that we're in, and we're here now.
It's,
I mean,
it's intense.
It's probably the most beautiful trip that I can go down. You know, I mean, I could spend the whole night just going, wow.
You're here to do it.
You know, so it's
great. And you're doing a good job, Christine.
Yeah, so
you're doing a great job. Thank you.
So I want to transition into another, I like to envision myself in the car with Chris Cahill in Chicago, you know, with the snow everywhere. She's driving through the streets, you know, just dealing with everything. And, you know, we're rewinding back to, you know, her just rocking out in the car.
How old is she at this point? And I'll tell you what she's doing.
I don't know. I just see us. I mean, you know, every time I've like visualized our friendship,
yeah.
I've always visualized it maybe in the late teens, early 20s.
Right.
Still pissed off, you know.
I was quietly pissed off, but I was definitely, I wasn't like in the dark pissed off thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just rebelled and I got away with everything because I was really good and sneaky.
See, that's, we would be friends because I would be fascinated over that. I would be like, oh my God, okay, you got this.
I couldn't do it loudly because I wouldn't get away with it. There was a way to do it. Like, I like to think of it as being Tai Chi rather than Taekwondo.
That's great. That's great. So here we are. We're going to put an A, or not an A track. I'm dating ourselves way too much on that one. Cassette.
Okay.
A cassette in, and here we go. Let's see if this
Perfect.
Speaks to you.
Oh, yes.
I love you, but I know it's only lust.
That song is so incredibly rad.
I saw the Gang of Four about three times.
It's like beyond rad. I'm using the word rad. Yes. Them. Welcome to 1982. I love that word. By the way, that's my favorite year in the history of all things.
Ah.
Little tidbit on Chrissy Stereo.
I'm just curious. Why?
Okay. Everything that we're dancing with right now.
Yeah.
Technology, our appreciation with them, you know, storytelling in motion pictures when it's done correctly. Just the expression, the art, everything, the seeds could be found then.
Wow.
Like all of popular music, well, you know, it could be debated. New York 1977 actually brought about, you know, serious. But 1982 sort of took it further, you know, put it into our earbuds, you know, or our, you know, headphones. Yeah. It really introduced people into.
That's interesting. That's the year I graduated from art school.
Wow. See, I love 1982. I don't know what it is. It's like if I could be transported, you know, and I probably could be, but, you know, more on that in another episode.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but in general, that year really, really does it for me. I don't know what it is.
That's fabulous.
It's like a certain smell, you know how some people have a love affair with smells and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's cool.
82, man.
Well, thanks for playing that.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we did have one call. Sorry, caller. You know, we were rocking out. You know, they're gone.
Yeah.
But so be it. All right. So you are a professional psychic. So what I'm intrigued with, you know, I mean, I personally, when I was going through my own, you know, really intense growth periods, I would turn to my teachers and I consider you to be one of my teachers. And I had always wondered just what is going on behind the curtain, you know, as far as like how the you know, I think of Oz. How does Oz see all this and connect with everything? Specifically, I wanted to ask about the process of being psychic, what your process is like. Like, let's start with preparation, for example.
Okay.
How do you prepare for a reading?
And specifically, I'm a clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working from a place not of matching to an emotional energy or feeling the energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working as a medium. I'm not, you know, channeling anything or bringing anything in. I'm specifically working from clairvoyance, which is clear seeing,
mm-hmm.
clear vision. And it's also very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things I learned in my clairvoyant training is don't judge. You can't see anything if you judge it. So
that's true.
To prepare what I do, I mean, I take care of my energy every day. I have to.
Mm-hmm.
To do this. And I would anyway. If I wasn't doing this full time, I'd still do it.
Right.
But I ground, I meditate, I practice running energy, which you learned how to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those basic techniques from that Psychic Meditation 1 class, I use those things every day.
Mm-hmm.
I work, and then I work beyond that, but I clean out my space, I clear out, let go. And meanwhile, you know, when I'm getting ready for a reading, what I'm doing is basically getting my space so that when I'm communicating with the spirit of the other person I'm reading,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in person or by phone or however I do it, I'm kind of seeing them clearly without any filter in the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's easy for me to see them without judging or needing to heal them or fix them or solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy. It's so fun. It's just, for me, it's become very, very it's just like rolling off a log. When I first started, there was a lot of effort because I would doubt it all the time.
Oh, right.
You know, the beginning clairvoyant students, they generally do. They're like, am I making this up or is this real? And then you get enough validation from enough people saying, no, you're seeing it.
Right.
It's just such a brilliant way to work. And it is human. And more people do it than know they do it. Mm-hmm. I do it specifically. I'm setting the tone. So I can read somebody without taking on their stuff, without getting in their way.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as a clairvoyant, you know, healers and psychics who work this way, who work real cleanly, they'll be healing themselves while giving that reading.
Right.
You know, so I'm not the only one who does it. I mean, there's a wide range of different practices where people are conscious of that.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, I'm healing me.
Wow.
I'm not trying to heal them. I'm giving them a healing by saying hello. It's very healing to get a spiritual hello.
So that intrigues me. Confirmation, for example,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're all energy. And so, well, at least I believe, you know, I mean, yeah. And so there's got to be some type of moment where, you know, the picture kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
How do you gauge if this is even applicable, if the photo or the energetic impression, or I struggle at the words because I'm not, you know.
Picture.
Yeah, the picture. How do you know the picture is correct? Is there a energetic vibration in you? Is there, what is your sensory confirmation?
I see it and I read it. Mm-hmm. And whether or not, and this is the hardest thing of all to learn, and you struggle with it very early on in a clairvoyant training, mm-hmm. whether or not that person gets it, it's my job to read it. And I may not understand the picture at all. I can't even count the number of times I've read a picture for someone that made no sense to me, but I had to read the picture. That right. was what I was trained to do.
Right.
And they would go, oh my God, and you got it.
Right, right.
My first time doing that where I really remember all of a sudden I got it was when I was still a student, and we would, you know, one of the great things about the school I came from is we would go out and do these different events. Mm-hmm. So that you'd get students with teachers to, you know, going to a place and
setting up
to do little mini readings. Yeah. And we did this rooftop party in Chicago in the summer. I was in my first 6 months of the training. I was still pretty new, but my teacher was like, you got this. I'm putting this guy in front of you. And she puts this guy in front of me who, I don't know who he is. I hadn't seen him there and he hadn't gotten a reading from anyone else. And he didn't want a reading. And she was a go-getter. And she talked him into, here, go sit in front of her. She's great.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And she's saying in front of me, she's saying to him, she's great. And I'm like in my fifth month of clairvoyant training. But I knew what she was doing. She was setting me up to just be.
That's great.
And I close my eyes and I'm reading him. And I go, I don't know why I'm seeing this, but I'm seeing a picture of Bill Clinton. And he started laughing. And I said, it's like the president. And he goes, I'm the president of this company. And it was like some big company. We were at their party.
Right.
But I was such a new clerk. Like, that was the picture. And I'm reading something else for him. But I'm like, I keep seeing the picture of Bill Clinton, who is
the president at the time.
Was he the president? Whatever. It was for some reason, Bill Clinton was, it was the president at the time. So that was the cool thing.
That's amazing.
And he said, and he was, then he could hear me. Mm-hmm. Like, once I said that, he listened to what else I said. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was just having fun, and I was reading.
Were you nervous, or were you confident at the time?
I was terribly nervous. I was pretending I wasn't, but I was incredibly nervous.
Right, right.
But it was part of me learning how to be a clairvoyant and trust what I was seeing.
That's great.
I don't need people to validate it all the time. I really like to read people who can have, in other words, who can have the hello.
Right.
Because it's really hard to read people who don't want to be read. So I will not read them.
Right.
Like, if someone tries to drag someone to me, I'm like, no, they need to come of their own free will.
Exactly.
I'm not going to give someone a hello if they don't want it. I respect that.
Yeah, that actually brings up one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, which is the types of people who call you.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is a common thread that you would say you're finding in, you know, in this, for lack of a better term, collective that turns to you?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the common threads is creators. Mm-hmm. People who are creative, they're trying to take a step with their creativity, or they're really working another level. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to find there are common threads with all the common threads I mentioned. So then another one.
The quilt at this point,
Yes.
Yeah.
Another one is people who are very responsible for others, mm-hmm. or they become responsible. And there's another phrase for that, the control freaks.
Right.
And what does anybody want to control for to be safe?
Right.
You know, we're humans. We tend to kind of work from control a lot. And we're now in this part of our evolution where it's about trust. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting a lot of people who are being forced through circumstances to let go of holding on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's coming to me a lot.
I can relate with that, Chris.
I know.
Yeah.
And the creator part. And I can relate with all of it, too. Like, I get my matches walking in my door.
Wow.
So it's fantastic.
Wow. That's one thing that I did notice, you know, with my turning to you over time was this eagerness to not only learn the tools, but to apply it. It really became about self, for lack of a better term, self-mastery.
Yeah.
You know, and I really enjoyed that aspect of where you have such a wealth of knowledge that you're sharing with individuals on how to work with energy, how to ground, how to trust their intuition, you know, how to, I believe the term would be, you know, mock-ups, how to create pictures for themselves. That it's quite fascinating. And I've seen it work over and over and over again in my personal experience. Which is, you know, so big thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And you also, see, you do the work. You practice with the tools that you have. You know, and that's important. You know, nobody can if I can teach people till I'm blue in the face, but I'm not going to try to make them think they have to do it the way I do it.
Right.
It's all about getting some specific tools that helps, but then basically it's up to each individual being to figure out what he or she needs to do to create. And the way I do it may not work at all for somebody. They might need to go a completely different direction.
So what are you finding to be, you mentioned that, you know, we talked about the common threads of, you know, the types of people, the matches, if you will, that are, mm-hmm. that come to you. We're in really interesting times right now, you know, really cosmically amazing, shifting, collective consciousness, awakened, kind of awakening time. What would you say, if you were to express what you're noticing out there as far as what's happening on a larger scale, what would you start to highlight?
On a larger scale, what's happening in each one of us is happening in the whole planet. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you're noticing, like, you know, you went through it, I went through it, so many people we know have gone through it, like having to kind of let go of an old way of being in order to create the new one, which is even better.
Yeah, I know.
And that's happening on a planetary level, too. The structures are falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
They're really going to hit the fan this spring. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's coming. All the astrologers are starting to, you know.
It's interesting, but it's been happening. It's like this phrase of this period of time, but it's, yeah, April is supposed to be, like, supposedly April 23rd is like the day that it's the middle of
is
this
it really
whole,
hold yeah. on I need a calendar everyone
a it's big not that red anything pin major is going to happen that day, but it's like this the center of it, but you know, you can feel it,
the eye of the storm,
whether or not somebody likes to look at astrology or see it that way. You know, energetically you can feel it feels like we're on the brink of something. I don't see it as being on the brink of a dystopian future. I don't see it as a negativity. I see it as, hey, people, it's time to kind of get close to yourself, you know?
Exactly, I agree.
So what's happening on a big scale is that the old structures, like, for example, the way we run our country, our mm-hmm. government, our money, our, you know, distribution of wealth, the earth, the environment, the way we treat other people, this crazy prison system.
Hold on. Yeah, how we treat each other.
Exactly, duh.
Love,
baby.
Come on, the Beatles.
But
Hello.
If you don't love yourself, it's hard to really...
Exactly,
and
I've
that's the key.
That. But it's not about saving the ones that don't love themselves.
You really can't.
You know?
You cannot do that. They have to figure it out.
The only thing that we could ever really ever do, and correct me or expand on this if you'd like, the only thing that I found is the only thing that we could ever control is ourselves.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And
nothing to correct there.
Okay, cool. Good talk. No, but it's all about just completely taking full ownership of how your spirit, you know, is how much of your spirit is integrated into you, meaning conscious versus unconscious.
Yeah.
And
also, you know, having fun with that. But one of my favorite phrases, one of my clairvoyant teachers ever said was, you know, if you're having fun, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what it's about. It's not about, I'm going to be perfect, because mm-hmm. you're not. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I found
some days you're just not.
And sometimes you're going to piss people off, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that means that you're doing something right,
actually,
too.
I think you're doing something right sometimes. Like, not, if you're going around doing it all the time, you just might be an asshole. But,
yeah. But you know, if people are kind of like up in arms, you know, and pointing the finger, you know.
Like the I don't know, dead Kennedys used to piss people off.
Oh, they're not on my roster today,
Chris. That's all right. You don't have to have them there.
You know, but I do have, let me see, what else do I want to play, you know?
You play whatever you want. It's
so groovy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man. So hold on. Let's go. Oh, there's so many
options.
Christine's
got this. Look,
I know,
on her face.
It's the DJ in me. I'm like, I love the song, but I love that. You know, it's like picking a favorite flavor of ice cream. It's so hard.
It is. It's also picking an emotion.
Yeah, man.
Because that's what all the songs bring up. That's what where the healing has always been in music for me, is that emotion.
Okay.
Here we go.
Emotion is exactly where I'm going to go. We're going to go with a little Psychedelic Furs, ladies and gentlemen.
Great.
Not enough.
the Psychedelic Furs.
So good.
Oh, my gosh. They're one of the best bands ever, I personally think. Whatever happened to them?
I don't know. I did see them once years ago, and they were great. And I just remember, what is the lead singer's name?
Oh, I don't know right now.
But he was squatting on the edge of the stage, smoking a cigarette while he's singing. Like for half the show.
I would hang with him.
He was amazing.
I would hang with him.
He had this great hair, you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like as you're playing this stuff, and none of it is from the past like decade or two.
Right, right.
I'm pulling energy back from it. It's wonderful. Like from that time.
Oh my God. It's There's a healing session going on.
It's very, very healing. Because I don't listen to these bands as much these days, and I love them. And from time to time I do, but I'm listening to more, you know, stuff that it was more recent, mm-hmm. but it's so healing.
Yeah, you know. All right.
Very cool.
A relating story.
Okay. All right.
So as you know, I'm from Alaska. I grew up in Alaska.
Yeah.
And I recently went up there. And, you know, like you said, healing, that train never stops. We're just going to constantly claim our energy, reclaim. So I was in Alaska and you brought up, you know, how you're reclaiming your energy, you mm-hmm. know, each song that's being played. I kind of did the same thing this last year. I went up there and I drove to every house that I've ever lived in Alaska.
Cool?
Right, right. And I was playing the music that I was playing back then. So it was really a time warp.
You are intense.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yes. Hold on. Okay, that was a self-love moment. That was a self-love moment. I am intense.
That is really good.
Yeah. And so what I was finding was that I was scooping up energy that I didn't realize that I left behind.
You were. Yep.
You know, and so I was like, you know, just coming back into, you know, the goddess.
Because you were healing yourself.
The lioness, insert, you know, the spirit warrior here, you know.
So, exactly.
So right on your spirit warrior moment. So
it's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So I wanted to share a little bit of, I asked Chris Cahill, to pull a card for us. And the intention behind the card was, okay, what kind of energy is going to be coming up this week.com? All right. This week.com, what is going down? All right. So for those of you who are looking into the camera, skidrowstudios.com, live video, top navigation link, she pulled the Three of Wands. Do you see that? All right, right on. All right, dig it. Okay, so what kind of energies can we anticipate this week? There's a little bit of uncertainty that's going to be happening. And there's unfortunately, the threes, and it's not bad news, it's just energy. Uncertain energy with kind of a default to thinking negatively. Like, it's sort of like being invited to a movie, right? And you've heard about the movie and you haven't heard really good reviews about that movie, but you're going to go anyways. That kind of vibe. That is kind of what's happening this particular week. Not really sure about their place in this world too much. So there's some, you know, uncertainty energy that's going to be popping up a little bit in the cosmos. So, you know, never wanting to just leave it on that. Right. You know, because I'm like, all right.
But aren't the wands also fire about moving forward?
Actually, well, I read Kabbalah Tarot, so it has a different meaning.
Okay, I got you.
And it pertains to the self.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of people are going to be facing their uncertainties.
Right.
Right.
And they're doing.
Yeah.
They're already doing. I'm seeing them. Yeah.
You can find Chris Cahill at chriscahill.com. All right.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Right. Psychiceveryday.com. Do you have an 800 number yet?
I do not. No 800 number. I have a Skype line.
You know, I think I had you on speed dial there for a little while. So
oh,
it was
God.
Cool. All right. So how can we deal with uncertain energy, right? It's going to be an active, nervous energy. That's basically the vibe that's coming, right? Good times. So with that, have a good week. No, I'm kidding. All right. So, all right.
She's not going to leave you hanging.
No. So yeah. I'm like, so how can we navigate this energy besides, you know, working with a plethora of amazing healers in this world, such as yourself or myself or so, you know, so forth and so on. Well, what can we embrace? It's a knowing. I pulled a card, Knight of Cups. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's knowing that your situations are, you know, these are external energies, knowing that what is happening is, you know, divine, but specifically knowing what you want. So this kind of goes into the mock-ups, a little bit of how you highlight it. This is how we can navigate this uncertain energy that's happening. Specifically, it's a little bit more strong and established. It's sort of ownership, you know, taking self-ownership. So that would be the
I love that.
Pepsi challenge that's being had.
Can I add to that? Because I want to validate the heck out of that.
Yeah.
I see it as body and spirit.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So the Three of Wands, just that first, you know, the way you were reading it, but I just kept seeing the picture of, and it's what a lot of people are hitting right now, mm-hmm. is an uncertainty or an insecurity on a body level, like grounding, making things real.
Right.
And then bringing in this healing of knowing there's your crown chakra, your spirit, getting to know yourself is your absolutely
right.
I love that.
So welcome to the party.
Nice dichotomy to work, but it's also the everyday dichotomy of people's lives. It's the reality,
and it's quite body beautiful too. Because here we are on the first day of spring. Today's the first day, right?
I think it's the first full day. Didn't spring start yesterday this year? Oh, like it was the 20th.
All right. So,
but today's the
first
kiss full
of spring
day.
Is upon us.
It's upon us.
Yes.
Baby.
So
we're
it's all
it.
About new beginnings. The blossoming, you know, I mean, hello, you know, hey, collective conscious, are we feeling what's happening? All right, hold on. I love doing little visuals as had through theatrical representation.
Theatrical representation.
You know, hold on, feather boa. Okay. All right. So we're all.
You need a feather boa.
Yeah, I need one, right?
I do.
I probably black with like sparkly and.
Yeah, you need, yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's too diva-esque. Yeah, but all right.
You're a spiritual diva.
Right?
It's okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So where was I? Wait, I lost my train of thought.
You were back at the together, moving it together.
Hold on, I lost myself. See, this that's what happens in the 90s. You know, this is a product of the 90s. When you devoted yourself so much to, you know, the rave. Yeah, things get a little fuzzy. Cool. Anyway, so.
Fantastic,
right on,
I
man.
Love it.
You know, ownership. All right, ownership. So yes, that's what it is. It's all about really staking our claim, going for what it is that we really want in this world, what it is that we know, but we are too scared or too have Bambi legs over. You know, like, oh,
yeah,
can I do this?
Bambi legs.
You know, can I? You know, own it, man. Own it. So that's my message.
And I would also add, own it with heart.
And there is a reason why I love you so much. Yes.
Own it with heart.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Because that's where we're working.
Yeah. You know, I've spoken, you know, I do a daily meditation video blog called Chrissy Stereo Meditate With Me. You know, visit ChrissyStereo.com. Get to know me. I am a trip and a half in a beautifully cosmic way. I mean, I'm kicking it with Chris, you know.
That's great.
That says a lot right there.
You're so funny.
Yeah. So anyways, in general, though, one thing that I've noticed is, you know, it is about pulling spirit and also your lower chakras to your heart and really radiating everything from there, literally allowing yourself to navigate from the heart as opposed to the mind or some, you know, ungrounded space, if you will, you know, just really taking a time, you know, the time to align yourself.
Giving yourself your space. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So how, what would you, all right. So we have a variety of listeners out there. What would be, I don't know, let's pick a number, three magical things that you would recommend or share. If someone was making a list for, you know, of three sayings that Chris has in this world, what would they be?
Decide to love yourself.
Yay.
And with that goes forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it's a daily thing. It's daily work. It's not that all of a sudden you wake up one day and say, okay, I figured that one out.
Mm-hmm.
It is a daily thing, but it really does. It is magic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful thing to work on and to have and to create and to be. So that's one.
Yeah.
Another is get some good tools.
Definitely.
Grounding. Ground yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is such a wonderful, I just can't even say enough about that. And I talk about it every week on my show anyways.
Your meditation classes, which can be found
on my website.
Yeah. And share your websites again for people who are tuning in.
Sure. ChrisCahill.com and also PsychicEveryday.com.
Right on. Yes.
And I have a storefront and I have lots of articles and, you know.
And you have free goodies on there too.
If you sign up for my mailing list,
hey,
you get free goodies.
You know, exchange of energy.
Yeah.
A little exchange.
I just started that. I used to just give them, and now I have it so that people can get an instant download of the grounding yourself meditation when they sign up.
Yeah, you know, I call it the velvet rope, the Studio 54 velvet rope moment, where it's like, I really do want you to come in, but
I want you to come in.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want you to, you know,
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah. So you were saying, all right, so these are the three things.
The third thing I would say is take care of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, and especially right now, but that helps you be more conscious with it. It makes it easier to love yourself.
Yeah.
It makes it easier, you know, and grounding helps you take care of your body, and taking care of your body helps you ground yourself, and those things all feed. And they seem simple, but they're really good. The good basic for everything.
Right, right.
Is doing all of that. And there's more from there because you love yourself. It's easier to create relationships.
Mm-hmm. The magic really kicks in when there's so, you know, I'm on a trip right now. It took me a lifetime, you know, to really come into really claiming myself, like, you know, that self-love aspect. I mean, sometimes it just takes longer, man. You know, sometimes we just don't know and we're kind of like haphazard, sort of like a, what's that? That ping pong, machine or something, just bouncing around in the world, just going, what's going on?
What's going on here?
Yeah. Like, oh, wow. You know, I just got hit with energy, you know, that whole thing. But the one
whack-a-mole
thing... Yeah. You know? So one thing that I would share is... when you truly love yourself, and this is just my perspective, but yeah, that's all I have really. When you really love yourself, you're able to inspire others to love themselves. You're able to really see, love, and forgive your radius for any level of pain that they're going through or have perhaps inflicted on you or you had an agreement with. There's just sort of like this bliss thing that happens when you love yourself. You're able to just, I don't know, I can't really put it in words. I mean.
Well, it's freeing.
Yeah.
You free yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you can't really be controlled if you love yourself.
Yeah.
It's really hard to control you if you love yourself and don't think you suck. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
If you really defend yourself or not defend, but are your own friend, it's hard for anything else to get in the middle and try to convince you there's something wrong with you.
Right, right.
Self-love is a way to put that.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of beautiful, beautiful healers who, you know, I noticed that meditation is key to reclaiming yourself, regaining perspective, seeing things perhaps from your higher self perspective, if you will, like because we're pulling in energy into our heart. You know, so yeah, that's
you're bringing yourself in.
Yeah.
And working from a place where you're understanding what's you, what's not you, you're bringing yourself in. Mm-hmm. And that makes it so much easier to create.
So let me see here. So a fun question before we sign off, because we are coming on, you know, down to the tail end here.
I can't believe how fast it's gone.
I know. You know what?
Yeah.
It's because we're in the car, you know, and, you know.
Driving along.
Totally. So right now, all right. How do you see your spirit now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Colorful and sparkly. Also happy.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, so.
Not perfect.
Right, right.
Kind of a jerk sometimes, but whatever.
Yeah, that's life, right? That's life. Well, you know.
No one's perfect.
Yeah, I was kind of a jerk at Coffee Bean on the corner of La Cienega. I'm sorry, clerk. I'm just outing myself right now. The dude was taking forever, man. That's all I mean. And I lost it.
I've yelled at people in traffic.
I wouldn't say that I
would
lost
it.
You
fucking drive.
But, you know, I had a moment and I shocked myself because I hadn't had a moment like that in so long.
Yeah.
In so long. And I was like, oh, man.
No one's perfect.
I'm human.
You forgive yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways. So
I'll get over it.
What inspires you? What puts you in spirit?
You know, creating. I mean, writing, creating the earth, people, color. I love color. It's like music.
Yeah.
You know, play. I need art. I need art.
I'm in love with your paintings, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I've noticed a good portion of them on Facebook. And then I think you also have
a bunch there.
Website.
I do have a painting website, chriscahillart.com, and it's not current. I haven't painted for a few years because I've been doing this full time.
Yeah. I don't know why I feel it coming out.
There's something else coming.
There's like a charge, you know, energy that I'm picking up from you.
There'll be something.
Yeah. That's really
not
excellent.
Not sure what, but it's going to be coming.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us on the Master's Playground. You rule the planet.com.
Thank you.
Chris, you're so cool.
Thank you so much.
Very
Christine.
Hip people.
Really enjoyed it.
So there's only, you know, a minute and change left. So I want to say, just share, you know, a few things. One, I forgot to tune in. So, you know, sorry. I mean, normally I tune in with the Adi Mantra, but you know what? I'm doing it in spirit. So there it is. In general, take a moment to visit ChrissyStereo.com. There is a daily meditation video blog that I have going on called Chrissy Stereo Meditate With Me. You could find that on my website and also on YouTube. And basically, it's just inviting you to join me on daily meditational practice. What else can I share? Yeah, so check out ChrissyStereo.com, ChrisCahill.com. I love you all. You rule. And remember, as we're uncertain this week and stepping up on those Bambi legs, we really do know what it is that we want. And it's about owning it and claiming it and trusting it. I love you. Blessings, everyone. Sat Nam. I love you all. Bye.
Love yourself. Love yourself. 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 Love each other.
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 We are one.
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 We are
the divine,
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 the divine.
Blessings,
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 blessings.
The Master's
Playground.